Lord Vader, Operation Andor is underway.
Excellent. If we release 3 episodes per week, the Lorehounds will never be able to cover every episode. The Imperial forces will crush the rebellion before it begins.
Stand by. We're picking up something on our scanners.
Echo Squadron, reporting in.
Delta Squadron, on your left.
Django Squadron, on your 6.
With Imperial forces coming in fast, we're calling all Rebels to join the fight this season. Starting after the April 22nd premiere, you'll hear 3 full breakdowns for each week's episodes of Andor Season 2. Each podcast will be led by one of our squadron leaders, Alicia, David, and John. We'll be bringing in new and familiar voices to fill out the roster. Search for the Lorehounds on any podcast platform to join us in a galaxy far, far away. And don't forget to check out our season pass for even more content like our Holocron bonus pods. It's good news for anyone, except Darth Vader.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.
Hello and welcome to this special crossover podcast. I'm David from the Lorehounds.
And I'm Aisha from every single sci-fi film ever. Today, Dave and I are going to talk about Alien Romulus, which is the latest addition to the Alien franchise.
But first, we're going to talk about our joint coverage plans, since we're not only getting a new movie, but it's the 45th anniversary of Alien, the 1979 movie that started it all.
And then we're going to talk about the production details of the new film, as well as talk about our reaction to the 2 trailers that have been released so far. If you want more information on every single sci-fi film ever or the Lorehounds podcast, you can check the show notes. And me and David will have a little chat at the end where you can get more information about both of those.
Aisha, good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, David?
Great. I'm really excited for this new movie. I'm excited to talk to you. I'm excited for our 2 podcasts to have this joint project. It's been a lot of fun putting it together.
I'm very excited because this is my first crossover podcast. As you know, I'm quite new to the whole thing. Right. So it's really exciting for me. Yes. Thank you
very
so much.
Very cool. Well, we're great admirers of you over here at Lorehounds. So
likewise.
I'm really glad that, yes, it's been a lot of fun.
I can't believe your guys' schedule, though. That stresses me out slightly. But I'm amazed that you guys maintain it. It's amazing.
It's madness. It is. And we just finished House of the Dragon, and we're about to start Rings of Power, and we've got, you know, Dune Sisterhood coming later on, and we got so much going on. There's a lot of TV. It's kind of an embarrassment of riches right now.
Absolutely.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit about our joint plans for what we decided to do for this Alien coverage, because as we mentioned, not only are we getting Romulus, but it's the 45th anniversary.
Absolutely.
So we are going to do a podcast together where you're going to join probably 1, if not 2, of our other co-hosts from the Lorehounds. We're still working out our scheduling details, but I don't want to, you know, commit to everyone. But we're going to talk just sort of about the film as fans and what we enjoy about the movie and our personal histories with the franchise and that kind of stuff. Just kind of a celebration of the franchise overall, as well as the 1979 movie. And then over to you for the next podcast.
I'm really excited about that one because film enthusiast is where I am. But after that, we're going to do an academic discussion with Roger Luckhurst and Jason Eberl. And that is going to be about the 1979 film and looking at it through a kind of context and content kind of lens, seeing what's happening around the US at that time in the UK where it was filmed. So Hopefully that's going to be more in line with what I'm familiar with, but it's going to be really exciting to talk about it academically.
With more of your format in terms of working with experts, talking to academics and experts in the respective fields.
Absolutely.
Very cool. And then once the Alien Romulus movie releases on August 16th, we on the Lorehounds are going to do a movie review, one of our standard one-shots, and we're going to pull together whatever co-hosts we have. I've already got a couple of commitments from folks, but we'll do that sort of as a standard format for what we have for movies. And that will come out about a week to 10 days after the movie releases. So that way everybody gets a chance to see it and we get to sort of mull it over a little bit before we come to you with our opinions on it. And for Lorehounds subscribers, there's some bonus content. There's actually two trailers or trailer reactions that are out. I did an audio only of the teaser. And I just released a video breakdown of the full trailer, and both of those are available for Lorehounds subscribers. Anyway, let's move into some of the production details just to set the stage for the movie so that we have some context for it. The synopsis for the movie is it's set between the events of Alien and Aliens. The story concerns a group of young space colonists who, while scavenging a derelict space station, come face to face with the most terrifying life form in space. So the director is Fede Alvarez. He's the director and writer. He's an Uruguayan director. He is, I think, most known for a remake of Evil Dead, which released in 2013, and then Don't Breathe, which is was released in 2016. I've not seen either of these films. Have you seen any of Alvarez's stuff?
I have seen Don't Breathe, and I thought it was a very good horror film.
Okay.
So I'm expecting that kind of paciness, I imagine, to mm-hmm. the new Alien Romulus, yeah.
And then his writing partner, Rodo Saegas, is a longtime collaborator with Alvarez, also from Uruguay, and is credited on both of those movies as well. The cast of characters, we've got Kaylee Spaney as Rain Carradine, David Johnson as Andy, Archie Renault as Tyler, Isabel Merced as Kay, Spike Fern as Bjorn, and Eileen Wu as Navarro. So this is going to be produced by Scott Free Productions, which is Ridley Scott's production company, and Brandywine Studios, which is the original one of the original producer companies for the original franchise. And they're attached to most of the Alien movies and products that we get. It's going to be distributed by 20th Century Studios, and it's going wide release on August 16th. And it looks like it's got a just under 2-hour runtime, 119 minutes. So let's talk about our initial reactions to the trailer and the teaser, mostly the trailer, which just came out. Aisha, what did you think of the trailer itself?
What I found really intriguing was from the first trailer, when they say something mm-hmm. along the lines of, is this where you want to spend the rest of your life? Mm. And you hear a female voice saying, you know I don't. Mm-hmm. And then I know that it's Mal from Shadow and Bone, so I know it's Tyler who says, then this is our only ticket out of here. Mm-hmm. And I was so intrigued about what that is. And then the second trailer, which I think is fascinating, is that it kind of puts that into a completely different perspective, because I was thinking, is that going to be to do with a corporation? Is that, you know, mm-hmm. Are they being exploited in some way? But it says, you want to break in and steal highly regulated equipment. And then Tyler's character says, this could be our only ticket out of here. So they still could, I imagine the corporation is still going to be in there. But it's interesting because it puts a twist on it, because first I thought, poor little kids in space mm-hmm. going on this kind of whatever journey they're going on, but they're actually trying to commit some kind of thievery.
Yes.
Which, you know, I'm sure they'll still be protagonist or whatever, but it's not the kind of innocent little, you know, exploited children that we would have expected.
Yeah, I thought the trailer itself was constructed really well. It really builds it sets the premise and it builds the tension and it tells you what kind of horror we're going to get. Mm. But I feel like for a 2-hour trailer, there's still so much more story. Like a lot of trailers, they really give you a lot of the story, too much, like almost. And this one, I felt it really narrowed in on just a couple of key points just to let you know, hey, you know, there's this group, like you said, this group of kids, they're desperate to change some circumstances of their lives. And then, oops, they get into something that's way more over their head. Oof, yeah. They're holding a lot back from us. So I'm really expecting a lot more. I think the trailer did the job of the trailer.
Yeah. And what I loved was the introduction of the Gene Kelly song, You Are My Lucky Star, which is from the original Alien, which apparently Sigourney Weaver ad-libbed that. That wasn't part of the script. So she starts singing that in the original one. That's what I've heard anyway. And the fact that they put that in. So it's such a contrast to what you're seeing. You're seeing abject horror.
Right.
And there's this beautiful, you know, singing in the rain, old school, golden era of Hollywood musical number in the background.
Right.
And then it kind of repeats but distorts. And then there's like a faint echo as you can just kind of feel it going away. So it's, I think the sound design on both trailers is phenomenal. And I love the sound design of the original Alien. I do wonder if it's my many years of like podcasting and working in radio that I have such an appreciation of sound. But the sound design on both of these is phenomenal. In my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. In the teaser, the first one, a teaser trailer, whatever they call these things, they blur the lines of what is what. But the first thing that we got, we did get that motion tracker from Aliens, the little bleep sound. And it was like the moment that that sound hit, I was like, I was triggered into like, oh my gosh, what's going on?
There is definitely a lot of like Pavlovian reactions to this because there's so many references to the earlier films that, It just gets you kind of like, oh, I kind of know where I'm going with this. But then there's a really slick style. It's still got that grittiness, which Ridley Scott has in the original, but it's definitely a modern take on that, I think.
Yeah, and I thought that they demonstrated that well as their style, like demonstrated their style to us by embedding the title cards into different portions of the movie. So at one point in this trailer, when it looks like Rain sort of moves her weapon and the flashlight flashes against the wall and there's information there, or it's sort of superimposed over a window, or it's back illuminated by a flashlight, you know, saying like when the release dates are and things like that. I thought that was a very modern sensibility, and I thought it was a really well done and smart use for using title graphics.
Yeah, really well mixed integrated
into the trailer.
Yeah.
I agree. I never felt taken out of the trailer. I always was really immersed.
What's interesting as well in terms of, sorry to go back to the sound design, but there's horrible, you know, crunch sound, which sounds very, very kind of biological. It sounds like something's being stamped on, perhaps even a human. We don't know, right? There's this crunching sound, or it could be, you know, a face echo. We don't know what it is. And then there's this kind of mixture of kind of this mechanical boom. And then you get that kind of laser sound. It's just such a lovely mix of biological and mechanical, which I think is quite a lot of what Alien is about, because you've got this alien, you've got the humans, you've got, you know, the synthetics that, you know, the robot android kind of thing. So it's very clever, and I hope they are getting lots of recognition for their sound design. I'm going to leave the sound alone, but if I was handing out Oscars, I'm going to give it just for this one trailer.
Nice. Well, you have to come back around when we have our Oscar coverage. We do. Alicia gets into a whole bunch of stuff, and we go through a lot of the films and things like that. So yeah, fingers crossed for some sound design. I would love to see a behind the scenes documentary for this and to have the Foley artists sort of featured. That would be very cool. Yeah, because the sound does make such an important part. And I thought too, on that, the design of the sound of the trailer, so when Navarro is experiencing the chest burster and Kay is holding her, they cut her scream into the background sound from the diegetic sound, and it's perfect. It really allows my imagination to take over in a way that if she just screamed, it would be it has less of an impact of me just hearing her scream as when they cut to the background sound. I thought that was a really smart, clever way to do that.
I agree. And also it then plays on that, because they do it in space, no one can hear you, and then it's the scream. So it's so
this whole trailer and the teaser that was initially released, there's so many Easter eggs, there's so many connective tissue to the original movies. I think less Aliens 3 and more Alien and a little bit of Aliens, but it feels fresh while at the same time being really well rooted in the story history of this franchise?
Yeah, I am very interested because they've really dedicated themselves to the practical effects. Mm-hmm. And I imagine, I hope that might be true of any kind of physical, you know, it's not going to be CGI heavy. Of course it's going to be CGI because it's going to be in space.
Right. It's a modern movie. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's going to be very light in the CGI. Everything's got practical effects. Have you seen the little remote control face huggers on social media that they've...
No. I've been trying to steer away from a lot
okay,
of the...
Sorry.
It's quite all right.
There's a friend of mine who's like, I need one of those remote control. I'm like, that would be a really good toy to have. Probably not for very young children though. And yeah, so they're doing a lot of practical effects. I saw Fall Guy in the cinema. And since then, I'm like, we just need to go back to... We just need practical. To really, really backtrack on the CGI situation because... There's something about physicality and, you know, physical, real practical effects that it's just more exciting to watch as a viewer. And I think that also adds to the grittiness of it and the realism, which I hope they're going to be able to carry through in this film.
Yeah, there's something about the way that a real object is the lighting and the way that the camera interacts with it. With CGI, people wearing golf ball suits and that kind of stuff, you know, the actors can react to things, but still it's weird, right? Seeing this like person in a green Lycra suit with golf balls all over them versus having something that's a little bit more real, you can really generate a different quality of acting as well as just the way that light interacts with physical, practical objects. So, yeah. But then, you know, we were just watching House of the Dragon and the blending between the CGI and the matting and what is, you know, digital matting as well as like, you know, CGI creatures and that kind of stuff. It's gotten really good. It's getting harder and harder to tell the difference between these things. So, yeah, hopefully these guys seem smart about what they're doing with the trailer. So
yeah, and I think that's the thing that even... I mean, we are amazed by CGI, right? Like the last 20 years has completely changed. Like my kids will watch something from 20 years ago and be like, "You thought this was good?" I was like, "Yes, we did. It was really good for that time."
That's right. Put it in context, please, children. Put it in context.
So that I guess that's the thing that when I watch Alien or when I watch Space, 2001 Space Odyssey, that still looks good to me. That still looks, and that's the thing. I feel like CGI, although we're like, oh, wow, and it is a spectacle and it's amazing what they can do with hair and every lighting, everything bouncing off it. The kind of what it's going to look like in 20 years, is it going to stand up like 2001? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. And speaking of, you know, the next generation and that, I think this trailer, and from what I'm gathering from the trailer, I'm expecting that this movie is kind of, I hate to use the word reboot, but I don't think it's a reboot. I think it's they're trying to cultivate a new generation of fans. So in the 70s movie, you know, it's truckers in space. It's, you know, there's management, there's workers, you know, they're really average, normal, everyday people. And hopefully we're going to talk about this more when we talk with Roger and Jason. So that really captured because people could see themselves on screen, right? There's a spectrum of characters that made sense. And I'm wondering that if we're centering all of this around a group of young friends who are on Jack, when we have to talk about this a little bit, Jackson's Star Colony. Is this their attempt to reach out to a new generation and to bring some new people into the Alien franchise? Because we're getting along. I mean, we've got, what, 7 films plus 2 sort of spinoffs with Alien versus Predator. Okay, yeah. And really, 2 plus 1 are really the only. We can talk about that on the other podcast, but I think this franchise is due for a really good, solid next production. And if they do that, where they bring in a younger generation set into the fandom, I think that's a smart play as well as an interesting storyline.
Yeah, I agree, and I also think what's quite interesting is that because Alien is kind of like of this, you know, franchise. It's the seminal work. But there's certain things in that can't be repeated and yet I suppose in every single film, we want those same kind of shocks and same kind of like fears and terrors. And, you know, the Alien is a very much a psychological horror. It's very much low level. And you hardly see, you know, the monster through that. And the reason Aliens works is that people always call it a war movie. It's so different from Alien. It's not trying to recreate that kind of initial thing. And I think that's what this film is going to do, is that you can't really recreate Alien. You have to just come at it from a completely different angle. And when you see these trailers and you see these facehuggers flying all over the place, like that's not like a small, slow, sorry, not small, but slow psychological horror. That's definitely, oh my God, when he says run, like that, it's going to be that kind of horror, right?
Right, right. Well, and I love the way that the whole trailer starts out. Are you sure you want to do this? Right? It's like, are you sure you want your seat in the theater right now? Because we're going to do something to you.
Yeah, well, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, I think that's a good transition to let's talk a little bit about what we have seen in the trailer and the teaser. And what is it that are you looking forward to specifically from what visuals that they've given us? What are some of the things that are most exciting you?
So I think, like I just said, I'm looking forward to it being a different kind of film to what we've seen before. Obviously, we like the fact that it's rooted in that kind of mythology. We're going to the same places. But it does, even though it very well kind of pays homage to the earlier episodes, I think this is going to be different in its pacing and its style. I think Alvarez is going to do things his way while still being very, very respectful of the franchise. So I think that's going to be exciting for me. Yeah. And the other thing, as I said, I love the fact that they're going heavy on the practical effects of this. And I think what I really want to know is the timeline. Like this is set between two films we know about. Has Ripley, Sigourney Weaver's character in Alien, return back? Are they sending these children out knowing what's out there? What role does the corporation have? Those kind of things are really interesting to me. Like the corporations, I like it when they go heavy with the corporation. I want to know what corporation is doing to these children.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I keep calling them children, sorry. It's just because I'm really old. Like, I'm sure they're all adults and they're not minors. But yeah, they're so dewy skinned and, you know.
Fair enough. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they use the Romulus mythology, you know, so the brothers Romulus and Remus, they're, you know, it's about the founding of Rome. And and we see in the teaser the Capitoline wolf as a symbol on the door of a lab, it looks like. So how are they going to incorporate that? How heavy is that going to be? Is that just a quick nod, or is there something more fundamental to the connectivity?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. So the Capitoline wolf is the she-wolf that fed both Remus and Romulus. And Romulus went on to found the Roman Empire. But it's interesting because, you know, Prometheus, like you have this kind of history of referring to things, and how much of that is just kind of a nod? How much of it is ingrained in the kind of mythology? And how much of it, you know, I want to know how much of it is surface quality and how much of it is going to be kind of, are there going to be symbolic subtext throughout the whole film? So it will be really interesting to know.
Yeah.
Because they are founding this colony. So what's happening? Yeah.
Yeah. And Scott was, he pulled from Joseph Conrad for some of the titles. So the Sulaco and the Sulaco and the
Nostromo as well.
Nostromo. Thank you. Nostromo, gosh, yeah. A little brain.
Sulaco.
Yeah. So the Sulaco is the Marines ship, right? When they go back with Ripley. Okay. So yeah. So that's interesting. So it's how much are they pulling? Because I believe they spoke a lot with Scott, and a lot of the original production people are involved or helped with this. But yet, it really does feel like you were saying it's going to be fresh and it's going to be something new. So that's very cool. I'm really interested in seeing this space station crash into the rings of this planet. That looked like an amazing visual, and I love how like, when you're dealing with the xenomorph, there's only one answer to the solution, and that is to nuke it from orbit or whatever massive total destruction you have to do to be sure. That's like the only single way that you can rest easy is to, you know, go to the fullest degree. So it looks like they're doing that to the space station here. Mm. I noticed too, there's a couple of new technology bits in here. One, we have Mother 9000, and I believe Mother 6000 was the AI on the ship on the Nostromo.
Oh, okay.
So if this is set 30 years after the, you know, or so if it's set between, sorry, it's not 30, 30 years, it has to do with the television show that's coming up. It's 30 years before the first.
Which I'm also very excited about.
Yes, very. Anyway, so this sets in between the two movies. So there's been some advancements. But anyway, we see something that looks like an M41A pulse rifle, but it's different. So, you know, what's that about? We also see that medical scanner that Navarro has where that, you know, she's able to look through her body. That's mm-hmm. a cool little thing, a great addition to body horror. So, you know, the whole body horror element of this.
Yeah.
And I think my two big questions are, what's up with Andy, who is being coded very much as a synthetic? We're getting, you know, eye rolls and weird body positions.
We get the eye twitch, and I'm like 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Absolutely. But then here's my theory. So we see him carrying a little like thermos thing that has some vials in it.
Yeah.
And we see him twitch out at a couple of different moments. Here's my little theory. He has some secret programming. So the corporation has put into their synthetics, into their AIs, that if you encounter Xenomorph, you switch into a different programming mode, and now your job Ooh. Is to collect those samples and get them back.
And so this goes into, is he going to be a good synthetic 100%. Or a bad synthetic? And it could be both.
Yep. Because we see him having a close relationship with Rain. They establish that. And we see him, there's at least one shot where she's firing the pulse rifle and he's behind her, sort of backing her up a little bit. So, but he keeps carrying this little thing. He keeps carrying this little thermos around in a lot of the shots that we see him. Mm. So I don't know. We'll see. That's kind of fun. So that's one of my thing. One thing is like, what's up with Andy? Where are we going with it? And then number two, I had during the teaser, when we saw the teaser, I was wondering, like, is this LV-426? Is this Hadley's mm-hmm. Hope? You know, is this, you know, where are we? But in this one, we clearly see that this is not. This is Jackson's Star Colony. Mm-hmm. You can see the scene when Andy and Rain are walking through a marketplace and there's throngs of people. And you can see clearly on the right side of the frame, it says Jackson's Star Colony written on a building. So as I understand it, and I haven't seen this quote directly for myself, but I've sort of heard secondhand that Ridley Scott has mentioned that Blade Runner and Aliens, he believes Blade Runner and Aliens are set in the same story universe. And we see a little air car fly by on the top of the scene that goes by. And that's a very Blade Runner scene, sort of that gray, yeah. rainy, you know, that's that, you know, dark noir visage to it. So this is not LV-426. This is Jackson's Star Colony. But what's that about? And what are they going to do? How much of that is going to play into our story?
And do you know when Ridley said this? I'm saying Ridley like I know him.
Yeah, our pal Ridley.
Our pal Ridley. Do you know when he said this? Because I want to know if it's like a retro kind of thing or if it's...
I think it was a while ago. I don't think it was anytime recently. Okay. And I haven't done any searching for it. I'm very nervous about it. I was actually just trying to look up something really quickly before we got on the microphones, and it started going, people were like, oh, this and that, and he was in this interview and that, and I was like, oh, no, I've got to stop, close my eyes. Because I don't want to, I really want to come to this movie fresh. Mm-hmm. But Alicia mentioned that she had heard an interview with him. And then I remember hearing that before, a number of years before, that he said that. And like not recently, like, I don't know, 5, 6, 10 years ago, something like that, he's mentioned that.
Okay, it's interesting. I mean, so, it's all from him, isn't it, really? And also, I like the fact that the artist Mobius is kind of, I think about him both with Alien and with Blade Runner, and he was involved in Alien production as well. So yeah, interesting theory. I don't know if I'm very happy about it, but I'm sure I can come to terms with it.
You mean with the two universes being in the same story?
Yeah.
Even if it's not, I just kind of like the homage is fine. So, but if they're building out the alien universe, that's fine. Because what have we seen? Because the prequels were set, I'm not really going to talk about the prequels. We can talk about that in the other podcast. Mm. But, you know, maybe that's a question for Roger. We can talk to Roger about that when we do the academic conversation, is what he knows about what Ridley Scott has talked about the Blade Runner and alien universe. Could be a section of conversation. So cool.
Great. Yeah, we can do that.
Any additional thoughts on the trailers before we wrap up?
I think that kind of covers the excitement levels and the general overview. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. I'm excited. I think I'm like, come on, August 16th. You know? So what is going on these days with every single sci-fi film? You just released a podcast and it's in my queue to listen to. But what have you got on deck for us, and what's coming up in the next couple?
So yeah, last podcast was on mad scientists of the 1930s and 40s, because they proliferated in that era. And then the next podcast will be the academic discussion with Roger and Jason. So I'm hoping to line that up. I release every 2 weeks, which probably seems very, very sparse to you.
you're a one-person shop. You got to do what's for you, right? So yeah. It takes a bit. You're doing a lot of prep, and I would say this for the listeners to this podcast. One of the things when I encountered your podcast, I was so impressed with is, yeah, you get some great guests on. That's important. That takes a lot of work. Who's involved in this, all the communications, the ping-ponging of emails, when can we schedule, and all of those kinds of things. And granted, they're subject matter experts, but you're doing your research so that you have these really intelligent conversations with them and are able to have that dialogue that's very rich and expands my understanding of things. So yes, I'm heaping a lot of praise on you, because I think you do a really good job. And if you have to do 2 weeks, I don't care. If it was monthly, I don't care. I just really appreciate the level of detail that you put into your preparation.
Thank you so much. I do think it's kind of unwarranted, because as I said, the specialists are amazing and they do carry most of it. No, I research a topic for a few weeks. They're literally been researching these for like decades sometimes.
Right,
So I can just kind of nudge. And a lot of the times, I write this to them beforehand. I'm like, please correct me, because I'm just reading up stuff. I'm corroborating as best as I can, but I'm not a specialist. So yes, I do my research, but I'm nowhere near an expert.
Right. But you're a fan. You're
I'm a huge enthusiast is how I describe myself. Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. So people can find you at every single sci-fi film ever.
That's the name of the podcast. They can find me at the website Every Sci-Fi Film. And I'm on Instagram. I post up whatever I'm researching and doing on there, which is, again, Every Sci-Fi Film. And yeah, come join in if you like a bit of history, old Hollywood, science fiction films, anything like that.
Absolutely. And I can't wait till you get up to the modern age, and then we're going to...
I'll be maybe collecting a pension by then, but I'll get there eventually.
I'm pulling for you. We're going to do it. So over in the Lorehounds, we just wrapped up with... we're just wrapping up with House of the Dragon Season 2. We just wrapped up with The Acolyte. We have... Rings of Power starting at the end of the month. We've got some stuff in between. We've got to get back around to The Bear, so that'll be coming. We've got Dune Sisterhoods coming up as well, and a number of other projects. We're going to be having a very busy fall. But if you go into the show notes for this episode, you'll find a link tree for the Lorehounds, and there on that link tree is a link to all of our other affiliates, because we have 3 or 4 other podcasts that we support and sponsor, as well as our Discord. And we have a very lively Discord, great moderator team, a lot of fun discussion. So I invite you to join us there. Other than that, we're just going into a very busy fall. So check us out if you're, you know, interested in all kinds of fun, nerdy story topics. Hmm. So
you got all the new seasons starting, right?
Oof, we got a lot of bunch of stuff coming down us. If I sat here to explain
good
it all,
sir.
Yes, exactly. We'd be here for another 15-20 minutes. So, well, Aisha, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Greetings to all the every single sci-fi film fandom as well. I hope it's growing, and we're looking forward to a couple more podcasts together.
Brilliant.
Lord Vader. Operation Andor is underway.
Excellent. If we release 3 episodes per week, The Lorehounds will never be able to cover every episode. The Imperial forces will crush the rebellion before it begins.
Stand by. We're picking up something on our scanners.
Echo Squadron reporting in.
Delta Squadron, on your left.
Django Squadron, on your six.
With Imperial forces coming in fast, we're calling all Rebels to join the fight this season. Starting after the April 22nd premiere, you'll hear three full breakdowns for each week's episodes of Andor Season 2. Each podcast will be led by one of our squadron leaders, Alicia, David, and John. We'll be bringing in new and familiar voices to fill out the roster. Search for the Lorehounds on any podcast platform to join us in a galaxy far, far away. And don't forget to check out our season pass for even more content like our Holocron bonus pods. It's good news for anyone, except Darth Vader.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.